Hello, this is Super Dan Anderson, and you are listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneer Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee in the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Tell them Super Dan sent you.
Excited about tonight's show. We're just excited about being on the air and sharing sport karate history with you. You know, we've got some incredible people that we got lined up, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but officially, welcome to the AMAA, Pioneers and Legends Archives radio show. We call this show Parts Unknown. We go into an in-depth interview with someone that you've read about or saw on the screen or heard about or saw them compete. They're all part of that sport karate era. You know, we feature the personal and up-to-date interviews with the pioneers and legends of sport karate and the American martial art icons. You know, tonight is an interesting night because we've been doing the Sport Karate Museum idea since 1998, and we cut it off in 1999 from 1946 to 1999. Well, you know, it's 17 years later, and there's some incredible champions that have emerged from that era of 1999 up to 2017. And tonight we have one of those amazing champions, and we're going to be introducing a new part of the vision of the Sport Karate Museum, and that is to honor that group of fighters and kata performers from the year 1999 up to 2017. And this is one of the gentlemen that we're going to be honoring at the Living Legends this year, September 29th and 30th in Houston. And we all call him Lump, but his name is Willie Hicks. And he is a world champion. I mean, today there's a lot of people who say they're world champions, but, you know, I've known, I'll tell you what, I met him on a plane, and he was only 9 years old. And we were, I was on the way to Super Grands, and he was a young man. And he mentioned the magic name of Richard Plowden. Well, I lit up like a Christmas tree because I knew who Richard was. And I started telling him stories of how great Richard was as a fighter. And we became fast friends on that plane ride. And through the years, and when he came to Texas a few years back, you know, Garrett and I, my son, we became Ohana to this young man. And watching him become the best in the world in competition has really been a joy. You know, he's the only fighter in sport karate history to win Super Grand Championships 4 times. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And I know there's bigger things coming for him. You know, his teammate, Miss Regina Thompson, by the way, she has won the women 4 times also. This will be a great interview with someone who is, well, he's done sport karate as a child and through his adult life, and he's one of the most professional men I've ever met. He is the cream of the crop. And if you'd like to talk to him later on in the show, we're going to have a call-in, and you can call in 657-383-1410. I'd like to know if Mr. Willie Hicks is on the line. Willie, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lee. I am on the line. How are you doing, Professor?
Hey. How you doing? Okay. I always ask, I call you Mr. Hicks, I call you Lump. What's going to be the most respectful thing that you feel comfortable tonight?
Tonight you can call me whatever you feel, Mr. Lee. You know, I answer to you at all names.
Okay, well, let's explain Lump. Where'd you get that nickname at? Let's start off that before we go into your beginning history. I just want to know why, if I do call you Lump, that people understand it's your nickname, that everybody that loves you calls you that. How'd you get that nickname?
Well, back in 2001, when I was a junior, it was a few tournaments that we hit around the NBL circuit to where I was leaving some bruises and some cuts on some couple of kids. So Brian Pimple and Mr. Carlos Tierney figured that, you know what, since you're leaving Lumps, that's what we're just going to walk around and call you. Your name's going to be Bump Bump. And literally, that name literally stuck with me all the way to now. So That's my karate name. That's my nickname. that's just really something special.
Okay. Well, then our listeners understand if I slip and don't call you Mr. Hicks and call you Lump, they'll understand why. Now, you're talking to Sue from El Paso tonight. I'm in Houston, and our producer, Master Bowman, is in North Carolina, and we're around the world tonight. So what are you doing in El Paso, little brother?
I am down in El Paso doing a few seminars with one of my best friends and ex-teammates, Mr. Daryl Gandhi Lewis.
Yes, Gandhi. One great competitor.
Yes.
Make sure you give him my love. What a great guy. Yeah, we honor him
as
a living legend a few years back. Absolutely. Well, listen, we got a two-part interview. This is the first part. You know, the question is, who is? We're going into the parts unknown now. Now, who is Willie Hicks? And, you know, how did Richard Plowden in Detroit play in your life, and how did he get started? That's kind of like a two-part question, but I want to find out how you got started, where you got started, and what was your first influence of karate before you became the sport karate icon.
I started karate back in 1990, September of 1990, under Richard Plowden at Plowden Championship Martial Arts. But before I actually started with Mr. Plowden, it was another karate school that was probably maybe two blocks away from my house. That was also a Taekwondo school. And I went up there to check it out, and the guy said that he did not take anyone under the age of 7.
Okay.
And my next-door neighbor was still searching around, and she came across Mr. Plowden's school in the Yellow Pages. And we went down to Mr. Plowden's school, and Mr. Plowden took kids at 5, and I was 5 years old. And I got to do the trial class, and I really just bonded with him. He plays a major role in my life all the way till this day, 26 years later.
Well, let me ask you a question. I know he's a big part of your life now. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, what was the first impression of being a karate at 5 years old in that time period of time? Detroit's always been tough. What was it like a kid growing up like that? Did they make fun of you? Were you made fun of? Or?
No, because really, I did not tell people at school that I was in karate, because that was one thing that Mr. Plowden stayed on us about back then, especially, is because when you tell your friends that you're doing karate, they always wanted you to show them a move, or wanted to try you or try to pick a fight with you just to see if you really known karate. So I kind of kept that a secret all the way until maybe about my 7th, 8th grade year, almost going into high school, and then I started sharing it with my friends, that I travel the world a lot. I compete on the national team.
My next question, Lump. What was your first sport karate tournament, little brother? What was your first impression of sport karate? How'd you do, and where was it?
My first sport karate tournament was a local tournament back in Detroit. It was March of 1991, and I received third place at that tournament. We probably had about 18 kids in that division. One of my teammates from the karate school, Mike Marshall, ended up winning the division. But I really enjoyed it, man. It was a blast, and I really just fell in love with it from that day forward, like just wanting to go and compete against other people from other schools. And definitely, as I started getting a step outside of, like, going to Chicago and Indiana, it really just made me want to travel more around the world to really see what was
awesome. We're jumping the gun. We're going to talk about that. Remember, slow down, Willie Hicks. I want to talk about when you made black belt. When did you make black belt? And I know that black belt, you did start traveling. I knew you started traveling as a junior, too, because I met you at 9. But what year did you make black belt?
I received my black belt in 1997.
1997.
I was traveling around the world before 1997.
Yes, I know. Absolutely. Now, what was your first year, man? Was that the first year you met me, or was that the first Super Grands? What was your first one?
My first Super Grands was 1998, Savannah, Georgia.
I remember. Okay. I remember Savannah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, I think I had already met you.
Did you have any idea that you would hold that this record of four Super Grand World Championship, Grand Championship titles, which will probably never be broken. I don't think so. And, you know, unless Boyce lives forever.
Speaking very humbly right now, Mr. Lee, honestly, I thought I would have had more than the four. I was expecting the five. I was expecting the four in a row and then the extra one after I set back a few years. But I end up...
So you're going to go up to that fifth one? You're going to go up to that fifth one?
Unfortunately, no, sir. I'm done fighting that Super Grands. Really out after some bigger things and chasing after some bigger pictures.
Well, absolutely. And now, next thing I want to talk about, you made black belt. You're fighting really around the world, around the country for sure. Mr. Fowden's putting you everywhere. But the one thing I found that was amazing about the research I did on you, Lump, was or Mr. Hicks, was the fact that the teams that you've been on, your first team was SES. Tell me about them. We're going to go with each one. I'm going to talk about each one. We'll start with SES, though. That was your first team. Tell me about that and who sponsored you for that team.
We were sponsored from a SES was a Simplified Employment Service. That's what it stands for. It was out of Michigan, and we were sponsored from 1998 to 2001. With that, Richard Plowden was the head coach of the team, and I was still a junior at the time of being on that team. But I got to travel around the world on private jet. Really, just got to see something big and amazing. As being a part of that team, and
who was
just
the captain
really,
of that team? Who was the captain of that team? Mr. Blimple?
We didn't have no captain. We didn't have no captain. You know,
okay.
We didn't have no captain. We had a coach, and he had fighters, and he had and we also had and we also had four competitors as well. Huh?
Who was the coach?
Who was the coach? Richard Plowden was the coach of that team.
Oh, Mr. Plowden was the coach. Okay, very good.
Yes.
Okay, how about GOP?
Yes.
I know we're going to talk about Ms. Galeo and Chris a little bit later, but GOP, how'd you get picked for GOP?
Right after SCS broke up, Chris Galeo was starting his own little national karate team, and Chris and I was team fighting together at the time, so I just kind of joined hands with them, and Regina Thompson was the coach of that team. At the time,
right,
and Regina and I had a bond from being on SES together. So,
let's keep going. I'm not putting them in order because you know better than I do, but I'm going to say the team that I've got listed. Team Friday All-Stars.
Victory.
How would you pick for that?
Victory. Victory. That's just Victory.
Victory. Team Victory. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Team Victory.
Okay. 2004. Mr. Plowden had started his own circuit called WSKF, and I had left GOP and joined Team Victory for the year, and was sponsored by Team Victory by Garth Benz. That was his team out of New York. It was a couple of young fighters on the team at the time that was up and coming.
Yes, sir.
But my bond with the team wasn't just there, so I left that team.
Okay. Now, you've done two teams now back-to-back, because I've been a part of both of them, watching you grow. Team WKC, which is Mr. Plowden's World League and just an amazing group of fighters, and then Team Impact. But I don't want to leave out Team Natural Talent. So let's go back before I talk about WKC and Team Impact. Let's go back
All
to Team
Stars.
Natural Talent. How was Team Natural Talent formed?
Team Natural Talent started in California.
Yes, sir.
When I moved out to California back in 2008, that was my Team Natural Talent, which it was me and a group of kids and one other adult, Sylvester Youngblood, and we were just a Team Natural Talent that ran around and tried to disrupt the Bay Area. and then when I moved to Texas, I was still representing Team Natural Talent, and that's when Regina, Chris Robinson, Jaden Williams, Nasir Glasper, and Johnson, a couple of other my students jumped on the fire list, and we started tearing the area up, and that's what people known us as was Team Natural Talent. But it wasn't a national team. You know,
okay.
We paid out of our pocket to get to tournaments. You know, we didn't ask and beg anybody for entry fees or anything of that, or hotel rooms or nothing. You know, we done what we had to do to be there at that tournament to compete and to let everybody know who we were as a team and
well,
as a family.
That's great. Yeah, that's really admirable. How about Team WKC?
Team WKC. Well, Team WKC is a USA team. Is representing the USA country. Mr. Plowden is over the USA side of that.
What does WKC stand for?
It stands for World Kickboxing Commission.
Okay. Now, you didn't go to Ireland recently, but you fought.
No, sir.
I
didn't make the Ireland, but I made it to Orlando. And Orlando, 2015 was actually my first national that I went to. I always went to the tryouts, but I never went to the Worlds. That was my first world to go to, and it was one amazing experience that I had, you know, that I had to come back and tell a few other people to get them to go, and then a few of my folks went to Ireland to even get to see what it was like, and, you know, I got back good compliments and good results of, you know, wanting to do it again, and this year, for sure, back in Orlando, you would definitely see me back on the list of that WKC USA.
That's really cool. But I'll tell you what was the most impressive? I'm telling you, I didn't leave my computer. I'm telling you, Lump, I didn't leave my computer. I stayed there for the whole, from day in the daytime up to the finals, was Team Impact and Ross Levine, you and Mr. Plowden, Avery Plowden. You guys were just pure sport karate entertainment. Tell me about Team Impact and exactly what's going on with that.
Team Impact is we're sponsored by Jason Chen, as which, once again, Mr. Plowden is the coach of that team. That team consists of myself, Ross Levine, Verona from out of Canada, Jason Greenier from out of Canada, Morgan and Avery Plowden. It is us right there. That's a solid team. Man, it's really been enjoyable. I always been wanting to be coached by my instructor. At any tournament that I always fought at, you know, and eventually a few times I had to stand across from him, you know, and it really saddened me to know that the person that groomed me is now the person that has to coach against me. So I always wanted to get that feel back, to be back with him, and then to be around the group that I'm around, man, they're so motivated. You know, Ross and Avery, they sent out texts, you know, make sure everybody's ready for the next tournament, getting training in, you know, Jason as well, you know, Morgan and Verona just checks on people. You know, Morgan sends me PTs, which physical therapy, you know, drills and stuff to work on. I mean, you know, it's just good to be back around them. But I always been around Morgan and Avery, you know. Well, that's later on in the story.
Well, you know, that's pretty impressive, the teams that I listed that you've been on. And it's pretty amazing. And it's a record that, again, I just don't believe that anyone will ever even try or even can't even come close to what you've done. Now, there was a lady in the 70s and 80s that was incredible. Of course, you know Miss Linda Denley. She was on every professional national team. But, by the way, so was Richard Plowden. God bless Richard Plowden. He was an incredible fighter. But, you know, did you ever realize as you were growing up with Mr. Plowden that you realized how good a fighter he was because you heard everybody talk about him? But look how great a coach he became and what he's done and the people that he's trained and what he's devised through the WKC. I am so proud of him as a history general, but mainly I'm proud of him as a competitor that is really – because every great coach was a great competitor at one time, the great coaches were, you know, in football, baseball, so on.
Yes.
Yeah, they played sport first. But when did the greatness come out in Mr. Plowden? When did you realize that you were around someone that, like you said earlier, that you wanted to be coached by him, but when did you see that greatness?
One, I always see the greatness in him because he always pushed me to be great. So that's one thing that always boosted my confidence and always wanted me to make sure that he was behind me because he always pushed me to be great. But I tell you, when I really, really knew that man had a serious coaching skill game, is when I won my first world title back in 1999 at Niagara Falls Supergrounds.
Tell us about it.
I probably made him pull out a few strings of his hair, but just the timeout and the plan that he had set after we came, after him and I came out of that timeout, it was amazing because after, when I got back on the line and I done exactly what he done, I mean, I done exactly what he told me to do, we pulled out that victory. And, you know, and I promise I would not have been able to do it if I would have not, one, trusted into what he was telling me, and two, knowing that how good of a coach he really is.
Pretty amazing. I want to get him on the show. I know you can make that happen for me where I can ask him some questions about himself. And I want one of those U.S. Budweiser team uniforms for the museum. I'd be happy with a glove or a hand foot pad from Richard Plowden signed. I'd be happy with that. Doggone it. So maybe you can get that.
You'd be happy with what, Mr. Lee?
I'd be happy. I'd want to get one of those uniforms from Budweiser or the Trans World Oil Team. But I'd be happy with a signed glove or a foot pad that he kicked somebody in the head with. You know, that'd be kind of cool. Let him autograph it for me.
If we can find one of those,
there's somewhere in his attic or someplace. Listen, I'm gonna take a break from part one and stay with me, okay? Don't go anywhere.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna do some upcoming shows and answer a couple of my emails and do a couple of spots of the show that we deal with. But you're listening to the Legends and Pioneers Parts Unknown live radio blog with the one and only world champion Willie Hicks. And we got some more surprises coming a little ahead with Mr. Hicks, and we're going to share something very, very special. So stay tuned with us. February 21st, we're going to take a week break and come back on the 21st, and we're going to have Colonel Phil Torres, retired Marine hero, legendary competitor, trained in Okinawa, trained with Dr. Mind G, just an amazing, amazing individual, and he will be on the live show February 21st. February 28th, Mr. Sam Chapman, legendary American karate instructor from Greenville, South Carolina, has trained amazing karate competitors, most notable known Mr. Jerry Rome and Mr. Bobby Tucker. And we'll be talking about the Southern days. In the early days of karate, he trained with Ernie Hebb, and he trained with the AKA, and all the cool stuff that made Sam Chapman kind of a household name in that part of the country. Then March 7th. We'll start March 7th with Mr. Don DeBries and Mr. Richard J. McLean, pioneers and legends. And they've been asked to do the producing of the Bill Wallace Superfoot World Championship. What an honor. I mean, for all the years that Bill's been around us and the incredible legend that he's become, I'm sure he's been bombarded by people that wanted to use his name and put a tournament out there. But, you know, Mr. Wallace did a smart thing getting involved with Don DeVries and Richard J. McLean because they're class act. They put on a great event last year. Had legends there and honored a lot of Bill's friends. And the museum was a big part of it. This year, March 31st, April 1st, they'll be doing it at an amusement park and having the Superfoot World Championship. And we'll also be talking about March the 7th and also their careers in martial arts. March the 14th, one of our favorite shows we're looking forward to, pioneer legend, one of the original women martial artists that really made a big, strong name for women martial arts, helped develop a lot of different things around America, and we'll talk about that, legendary, Mikey Rowe Moore, inducted recently to the Hall of Fame, Action Martial Arts. Just an early sport karate historian, a treasure for the Sport Karate Museum archives. Tuesday, March the 21st, we'll have Mr. Jeff Doss, super producer of the Grand Slam Open, NBL premier event. This year, his event is April the 22nd. He has grown up in sport karate, kind of like the gentleman I'm talking to tonight, Mr. Hicks. He's a history general and for the Sport Karate Museum archives. He's the only competitor in kata, the black belt kata, to win super grands overall world championships 5 times. He got 5 times, I believe, as of this year. And then we'll end March the 28th with Heartless Jim Hartley. This is from the Jim Harrison lineage, and we'll have a special guest, Fighting Irishman Jim Anderson, land baron, pioneer, and producer of Dangerous Waters. We'll be talking about the Jim Harrison lineage and the legacy and his supporters. the Jim Harrison Family Black Belt Tribute at the Living Legends this year, September the 29th. But it'll be Mr. Harrison's people on the line and talking about him. And this will be the ending out of March. April and May, we've got some great shows. We'll post that a little bit later. We're going to go right into the answering of our emails tonight. And, you know, right now I'm getting an average of, 10 to 20 a week. I guess my marketing is working out where people like to listen how I answer or at least listen to my opinion. But, you know, I do everything on a three basis. I always check three sources before I make a statement or make a decision on saying something. And, you know, three sources is always taking care of the things I've done and do. So on all these questions, if I don't know the answer, I call a history general. I'll be honest, that's why I got them. They're so much smarter than I am, and most of them have all the answers. So with those three sources said, I'd like to answer the first one tonight. This is from Boise, Idaho, from Mr. Claude Wittenhauer. His question is, traditional karate simple basis, what are the simple points? And do I really need traditional karate to fight in a sporty karate event? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to answer half that. And Mr. Hicks, are you on the line still?
Yes, sir, I'm still on the line.
Okay, did you hear the question? I'm going to let you answer the last part of the question. I'm going to answer the first part. I'll say the question again.
Yes, sir, please.
Traditional karate simple basis. What are the simple points, and do I really need traditional karate to fight in a sport karate event? Well, I'll answer the first part. You need foundation. You need foundation in anything you deal. And even the person that says he may not be teaching you traditional karate, and he may not be teaching you traditional karate, somewhere down the line, I bet you a dollar that he had some traditional karate in his background. And to keep it simple, you do four things. One is kihon. And kihon always starts with yes, sir, no, sir, may I. And then you go into technique and anything that deals with basic, 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 basic. And the terminology is kihon. The second, keep it simple, is kata. From kata, you learn the movements that you learn from kihon. And you put those moves together, and they form prearranged movements. The next word, bunkai, which means self-defense. And that simply means you take that kata, you break it down, the different wazas, different techniques, two, three movements, maybe just one movement, just a block and a kick or a block and a punch, and it becomes bunkai, the application of the kata. And the last part that kind of puts the pie together is kumite, and that simply means free fighting or free sparring, where you take the bunkai, the kata, and the kihon, kind of bind it together, and you form a machine of karate-do, and you basically become a karateka from kihon, kata, bunkai, and kumite, and that's the traditional aspect of it. Luan, how would you answer this? You have to do traditional to fight in a sport karate event?
You don't have to do traditional, but like you had stated, somewhere down the line you are going to do traditional karate. Roundhouse kick is traditional. Side kick is traditional. A reverse punch is traditional. A back fist is traditional. And those are the main techniques that we use in a sport karate tournament event. So, yes, you will do traditional karate. Point blank period,
okay.
To put it, that's what it is.
You know, to answer the question more deeply, because it looks like this gentleman is just, you know, he wants to get involved with sport karate. Maybe he hasn't done traditional karate, and he just wants to get out there and fight in the white belt division. I don't know. But, let me, you know, how would you overcome that butterfly syndrome of that first fight or the first time you step into the ring for 2 minutes of war? How would you overcome that? How would you tell a beginner to overcome that?
Professor, telling you the truth, I still get butterflies every fight that I have. So it's not even from the first fight to the last fight, my butterflies are still the same, even from the first time that I stepped in the ring. But to be able to control it, you know, it's just really that as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do training-wise, you should still overcome the butterflies. If you have a good coach behind you, that you believe in and you're listening to, you should be able to overcome the butterflies. And just really just believing in yourself. But as far as...
PMA, positive mental attitude, right.
I
appreciate that answer because that helps that listener understand if he's... I don't think he's advanced. I hope... even if he wasn't, the answer helped him, I'm sure. And I thank you for listening and do that. I'm going to go to the second one now. This is from Sally Anderson, and she calls, she emails me from Woodland Hills, California. The question is, and this was a good one, why is there all these Hall of Fames in karate? Basketball has one, football has one, baseball has one, heck, even the UFC only has one. However, I did some research, and there are over 100 martial art Hall of Fames around the world, and in America, most of them are here. Why? Why? ? Well, the best way to answer that is the answer that I know, and I know this for a fact. I know that the original Black Belt Hall of Fame was the Black Belt Magazine Hall of Fame. Now, there's others that started early. There's other people that created a Hall of Fame, but the most one that was most recognized and most respected was the Black Belt Magazine Black Belt Hall of Fame. When they more or less saw all these different people creating these martial art Hall of Fames and all these different groups, they went and copyrighted Black Belt Hall of Fame. So that's why you see everybody... Martial Arts Hall of Fame or anything else besides Black Belt Hall of Fame. And if they do that, not that they would, but whoever owns the copyright of that has the right to say, well, that's my name and you can't use it. So a lot of people are just simply smart and they use the word Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Now, as far as having so many, it's because this is America and they allow it. And there's no government or no governing body that says you can't create a Hall of Fame. Single people have done it. Groups have done it. They've come and they've gone. They're going to be around forever. If you try to control it, you'll go crazy, and there's no way to control it. And why should you? Everyone deserves their point of glory. Everyone deserves their 15 minutes. And God bless them if someone recognizes them. I believe in my heart that the Sport Karate Museum, it's not a Hall of Fame, but it's an alumni. It's an alumni of different decades of sport karate martial artists. So I hope to answer the question the best I could, but there's really only one. And I can tell you this, that if you were just nominated for the Black Belt Magazine Hall of Fame, it was an honor. If you won it, if you were chosen, because you weren't chosen by a bunch of people who didn't care. You were chosen by past Black Belt winners, past Black Belt Hall of Famers. And that made it very real. So it was voted by the public over to a percentage, but basically it was through the majority of the people who were voted in way before. And it's never lost its prestige as far as the museum goes. But through the years, the public, they don't understand. They think there's all these Hall of Fames, just like the lady that Miss Sally Anderson, she just thinks there's all these Hall of Fames. She wants to know why. I hope I answered the best I could. So, going right into our part that I've really enjoyed this past few weeks, and it talks about some of the incredible memorabilia that we've collected through the 19 years of doing the Sport Karate Museum Archives and honoring the legends and pioneers of the sport. It's real simple. I believe the heart of every idea and vision has to start with something that's just simply pure of what it is and what it stands for. And I don't see anything less pure than this. This is the actual black belt that Master Jun Ri, he gave to Mr. Alan Steen. Mr. Alan Steen wore it. And then he gave it to Mr. Mike Stone, and he wore it. And then Mr. Stone gave it to Mr. J. Pat Burleson, and, of course, he wore it. And then through the years, he then gave it to Mr. Harrison, and Mr. Harrison wore it. It's tattered, as you'll see on the site, old. It's framed in a glass case. But, you know, we have it at the museum, and it's the heart of everything that I do every day and about this radio show and everything that we do to honor each and every pioneer, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. I'm going to bounce. We've got these in parks. We're up to our park four, so I'm just going to bounce a little bit. So if I don't mention it, it's not because it's not there anymore. It's because I'm just bouncing around a little bit, getting to the fourth one. My son signed blue uniform. Danny Lane signed uniform. I got pictures of him and Mr. Norris. A blot belt from Mr. Chuck Norris given to me by Mr. Don Rodriguez. Over 80 hours of film from the 60s and 70s, donated by Mr. Ennie Lee, the founder of the AKA. Mr. Jim Harrison's original 16-millimeter film, signed of his Dollar Challenge fight that was won by Mr. Joe Lewis. Mikey Rowe, Moore's pictures and articles. Soaky Gary Deal's personal JKD Bruce Lee collection. Mr. Philip Bradley's uniform, red samurai belt, personal tompas that he made, memoirs of the White Crane techniques. Mr. Rick Lynch's, one of the original students of Gishin Funakoshi, personal signed books. Mr. James B. Tony, rest in peace, signed uniform. And he also donated one of the original prototypes, gloves, that was given to him by Master Jun Ri. Scaling the three, Rocky DiRico's personal package, with the cherries included over 50 magazines or more that he gave me. Christine Bannon Rodriguez's uniform top. Mr. James Cook's signed guitar and a personal guitar that he made for me. Mike McNamara signed pictures, hoodies, and his gold medal that he actually won in the Police Olympics. And our top, our part, I'll say them, that we've listed, we have Mr. Jim Anderson's portrait, and he is one of the original ambassadors and supporters of the Sport Karate Museum. And we honor him by having his portrait at the gate of the idea of the museum. The sign posted by the first national karate champion, Mr. J. Pat Burleson. We also have the bullet that Mr. Chuck Norris shot Mr. Burleson with in the Texas Walker Ranger series. A sign, this is one of my favorites, this is a signed top 10 groin cup that was signed by Mr. Ray McCallum. Mr. Ed Daniels signed documents. A signed Blood and Guts DVD by Mr. Jim Harrison. True story. Miss Linda Denley, top 10 award given to myself from Mr. Mike Anderson, who created the top 10. John Natividad's letter and signed shirt. Mr. Eric Lee's signed pictures and poster and his personal Chinese sword. Joe Lewis's fighting T-shirts and memorabilia of the things he signed at the Super Grands. Rest in peace, Joe. Mr. Jerry Fisher, signed book that he wrote. Rest in peace, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Urban, signed book, The Dojo. And his suitcase that was donated by Ms. Karen Slatcher. Rest in peace, Mr. Urban. James Liu, autographed pictures and personal package, and a USAK patch from the 70s, and also Mr. Trias's international patch. Kathleen Jaspuskin's karate memories, memorial Macaware board, and Pat Hardy's world championship belt. Wow. I mean, I can't believe I'm up for part five next week, or in the 21st with Mr. Torres. Willie, let's go back to part two, and I want to put you on the spot here right off the bat. Like I said, this is parts unknown. Who was your toughest fight? And I appreciate the answer you gave me at the pre-interview, and it's a great answer. Say it again to me. Who was the toughest fight that you ever had, and why?
So you know that the answer is not going to change.
I know the answer already, but my listeners don't know the answer.
Because, Mr. Lee, that was the truth that I gave you. My toughest opponent for everybody to know is anybody that stepped across from me. Because everybody I have fought never fought me the same as the person before or after. So everybody's my toughest opponent.
Well, you know, it's a lot better coming from the guy that you're interviewing than the guy that interviews asked, you know, said the same. and you are a humble guy. I mean, you know, you're one of the baddest dudes I know as far as a lightweight. And before I go into the Legends show or the Legends name, I want to talk about that a minute. I hadn't really seen, I mean, there's so many great lightweights. And there's so many great super lightweights.
Yes.
But the person that, in my vision, and rest in peace, Howard, that really made the statement, not only because he was a brother, but because he was the first brother to be, you know, ready number one. And he ended up being Mr. Norris's bodyguard. He was in the movies. But before that, Mr. Howard Jackson was this incredible blitzer, lightweight fighter. and he just had that blitz, and that's what you have. What have you ever been compared to fighters in the past? Has anyone said anything to you? Is that the first time, or you know, or has anyone said that you remind him of somebody?
That's the first time anybody reminded me of anybody from the old times.
Well, good. I like the first.
I have heard that people like my fighting style because I fight rough. You know, I like to hit. You know, and that's one thing that the old school definitely used to do was like to hit.
But
Mr. Lee, if I could get Mr. Plow to tell you, I had promised Mr. Plow that I was going to be his best super heavyweight because I thought I was going to be a big boy.
Right.
And come to find out that I was the total opposite. I know I hit hard. I come from a hard hitting school.
Yeah.
I come from a hard hitting school.
Yeah. But you know, remember in the old days, Willie? Remember when the super small guy, he'd be at one end, and the big, you know, ever man monster Eddie be on the other end. And eventually the super fast guy, the small guy, would meet the big guy. And it'd
That's
be
right.
war. But I've seen
war.
In the past few years, just by the way, you've been rated as the number one black belt fighter for the last 2 years. You and Ryan George go back and forth. And Chance was there 1 year, but
yeah.
What I'm saying is that you fight a lot of heavyweight. You know, I'm not making fun of listeners. Please believe me. I respect Mr. Hicks more than you guys understand. I know he fights a lot of heavyweight. And
a lot.
I'm just thinking, yes. And I'm making a point that, you know, you've made a statement. Little guys do hit hard. And I understand also, I've seen you show the respect to the very fullest. But if someone needs to go to school, as our friend Larry Jackson might say, then and Larry takes a people to school, then you can take them to school. I've seen you do that. And that was the fun part. I just wanted to mention that a little bit. But let's go into the Legends name game, and let's let our listeners enjoy this. This is a fun part of the show. This is where I ask you
a name. This is a very fun part. I got the
part. Okay. You got 30 seconds or two paragraphs to say how you really feel about this person. You don't pull back. This is part's unknown. Don't ruin my reputation. I built you up all week long. Okay, here we go. Ready? Okay, let's start with the fighter that we both love and we've been talking about all night, Mr. Richard Plowden.
That is dearly a father role model in my life. I'm, like I said before, truly blessed and thankful that I even have that man around. My karate career would not be nowhere near what it is today. I would not be part of the person that I am without that man being in my life. So, Mr. Plowden, big ups to him. Next person, so I don't get emotional.
I hear you.
I speak highly of him. You know, I speak so highly of him because he does great things on the mat, off the mat, in the real world. You know, he touches so many people. And I just really admire him.
I'm sorry,
so
we're still talking about Mr. Plowden. I apologize.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, let's keep talking about Richard. I understand, and I can truly tell that you love him. You want to say something to him personally? Because he'll be listening to the show on the podcast. Say something to him, brother.
You know, besides thank you, you know, I really appreciate you being the man that you are, you know, and the person that you have been in my life. You know, just really thank you, you know.
That's good. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that on my show. Okay, Ross Levine.
Thank you.
Mr. Levine.
Ross Levine.
Before you say something, probably one of the baddest heavyweights on the planet. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. And in today's time, right now, in my generation of time fighting, yes, Ross will go down as one of the best super heavyweights. And big ups to Ross, who also just won his 9th AKA Warrior Cup. Man, that's one of the amazing things. I'm trying to still get my first one, so big ups to him to be able to hold up 9 fingers saying that he got those. Ross Levine is an awesome teammate. Man, he's a great friend. I really love having him on my side now. Ross and I really haven't bonded until we actually got on Impacts. We just spoke high and by and just moved around. But now that I actually have him as a teammate, getting to know more about him, he's getting to know more about me. Yeah, man, he's a cool guy, cool teammate, cool brother. I'm happy to even, you know, be a part of him, have a part of my life as
okay.
well.
Okay, we got 30 seconds, two paragraphs. I won't get all these people in, my little brother. Okay, how about every five?
Avery Proudhon, my little brother, definitely is going to go down as one of the top heavyweight fighters of his generation. Definitely. I'm pretty proud of that boy. He definitely just came off of surgery. He's been back out on the circuit. Man, he's been going strong. He's been coming very close, just coming short for those overalls. But I definitely know Avery's time is coming again.
Absolutely. J.D. Trenton.
Who?
Johnny Trenton. I'm sorry.
Who?
Mr. Trenton, I'm sorry. Johnny Trenton.
Johnny Tinchin.
I apologize
for Johnny, Mr. Lee, yes, sir. Mr. Lee, I've been around Johnny ever since I was a baby.
Yes.
I have really watched him grow as a fighter. He used to come down and train with Mr. Plowden from out of New York, and he's definitely been a big part of my life. From since I've been known him to now, definitely for these last few years, he's definitely been on my tail to, you know, to push myself to be greater, you know, really show the world what I got. You know, Johnny sees some potential in me that, you know, a lot of people didn't see. We're not even going to go into the discussion of that, but definitely big ups to Johnny, and I'm definitely thankful for him. JT
Super.
Munn.
I know you had some wars with this guy, Mr. Kevin Walker.
Oh, yeah, Mr. K. Swift. Kevin is definitely in the generation of Avery's, and Kevin will go down as, if Kevin stays on top and stays focused, Kevin will go down as one of the best lightweights of his time. He comes from a great lightweight instructor, Mr. Tony Young, who's definitely one of the baddest lightweights that I got to see growing up and during my time of watching adult fights. Kevin is definitely one of my rivalries that I'll definitely be going to war with. I have a bunch of overall tournaments, but I definitely like Kevin. He is a great kid, awesome attitude, and definitely going to be all right.
How about Brian Pimple?
Brian Pimple. You know, I've been around Brian Pimple since I got that name, Lump Lump. So, Brian Pimple, man, Brian Pimple was one of the baddest super heavyweights that I definitely got to watch. I got to watch him and Damon Gilbert have wars. You know, if you guys don't know who those two are, you go back to the early 2000s, and, man, they battled. They battled every tournament. They battled because they only wanted to come out of that super heavyweight division. And, you know, they had their wars. But I definitely like him. He is one of the fastest big guys I ever seen take off the line with a back fist ever, Mr. Lee.
Well, that's cool. I watched him fight, too. He was very, very, very impressive. Okay, one of my favorite people in the whole world, actually two favorite people, and you know our history, Chris Galeo and the GOP animals. Come on, man, talk about them a little bit.
Summer Galeo. Cindy.
What an animal. Cindy, what a great lady.
Cindy is an awesome lady. Man, don't nobody know Cindy, man. Her kids don't even do karate anymore. And this woman still goes to tournaments and give her helping hand, you know, without begging and asking for anything in return. You know, I big ups to her, man. You know, blessings is coming her way, for real. I'm proud to even been around her and had her a part of my life. You know, she's been around me ever since Chris and I was even able to be fighting together way back in time. But Chris Galeo, awesome kid, love to talk smack. He was an all right fighter. No, he was a good fighter. I wanted to see him out more, but he had some personal things going on in life. But I definitely take my hat off to him because he's been fighting some personal things in life that he's been winning the battle on, man. And, you know, big ups to him, you know, and I'm pretty happy to definitely say that that's one of my little brothers. Casey Galeo as well, who also had brought back the team after a few years of being gone to, you know, keep their last name moving, you know, and keep their Galeo on the roll. I as competitors out there. So I definitely got to enjoy them a lot, a lot, a lot. Back on the line,
Byron. My person of choice, Ryland Garza. Tell me about Ryland.
Ryland is an amazing kid. I've been training Ryland for the last few years. Ryland is an all-around martial artist competitor, man. He does creative forms to creative weapons, to traditional forms of weapons. He's doing the WKF Taekwondo traditional forms and stuff, getting ready for the Olympics. His goal is to try out for the 2020 Olympics, man. And he's also active in school with tennis, marching band. So I'm very proud of him, man. I'm very proud to have him as one of my students. He's an amazing kid, great attitude, never gives up, man, you know. And I'm definitely waiting to see what's in store for him as he grows.
Well, before I go to the last one again, I apologize for the little internet delay. Sometimes that happens when you're doing an internet show. And it's not really anybody's fault. It's just one of those things that happen. And we certainly apologize. We hope you stay with us. And if you want to call in, make sure that you call in the number. We encourage that. And it's 657-385-3-1410. We're going to open the lines here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we got one more person on the Legends Name Game. And that's Miss Regina Thompson. But who is she to you, and what she's to the sport karate world?
I've been around Miss Regina Thompson since 1998. Will go down as one of the greatest women fighters of all time, of her generation, definitely. I'm happy to know that, you know, that's my big sister. You know, I have been able to win some overall NBL championships with her coaching me, with me coaching her, just being able to share that moment and that memory with her. Has been one amazing thing, because I know when we train together, you know, I push her, she pushes me, you know, and to even be able to see what she's done out here in the world, in the sport karate world, man, it's amazing. So big ups to her. Hopefully she got a few more years left in her. She can rock out before we put her on this Hall of Fame of retired list.
Well, she's an amazing, amazing fighter, and she comes from an amazing, amazing fighter, Mr. Ismael Robles, which I got a call from him today, and he will be at George Minshew's roast to roast him. So George will have Ismael there, and that's pretty cool. And Ismael created, you know, and just an amazing lineage there. Stay with me, Willie. We're going to finish up here in just a minute. I got to share something with my listeners, and it's been incredible, but I'll be back in just a moment, okay? Don't hang up. Don't touch your phone. Just listen for a minute.
I'm not.
Okay, buddy? I love
Carlos,
you, man.
Carlos, get ready
Thanks
to call
so
me
much.
In. Love you too, Professor.
Don't know. Okay, hold on 1 second. I got to do this, okay? Hosted by Grandmaster Nick Chamberlain, Dr. Nick Chamberlain from Dallas, Texas. Here's your chance to take your martial arts to the next level. Train with the Masters August 11th through the 13th, 2017 in Dallas, Texas. Held at the beautiful Sheraton Hotel in downtown Dallas. Hawaii has been a melting pot for the different cultures of the Pacific Rim for many hundreds of years. Foods, customs, families, language, and martial arts all have been mixed together and come out stronger and better through the years. Well, this year's theme is going to be the Hawaiian influence on the martial arts through the custom martial arts culture, dress, fashion. We will have a special guest instructors that represent the Hawaiian influence, including some of the most prominent people from Hawaii and surrounding areas of the mainland. Professor Alakoa from Maui, who will be sharing the Alakoa style of Kempo from Brother Alakoa-Lamuhala of Hawaii, and also teaching Haka. Kumu Michelle Manu, who will be sharing the family style Alua from Aloha Solomon Kilauea, including both empty hands and weapons. She will be teaching her famous superhero experience, SHE, self-defense class, with the female participants dressed up as superheroes. Women, you don't want to miss this. An exciting combat key demonstration where we raffle off a chance to deliver a full power strike to the body of the human shield. Grandmaster George Lim will be representing Hawaii Kempo with his beautiful wife, Grandmaster Patricia Lim. Some of the people we'll be having also will be shoot fighting seminar, taught by Mr. Grandmaster Bart Vail, and a special guest this year will be Chuck Liddell's fighting coach, John Hackelman. We want you to also know this is also the Kempo International Hall of Fame. And this Kempo International Hall of Fame, begun by Grandmaster Al Tracy in 2007, is in conjunction with the Gathering of Eagles this year. And the Hall of Fame is for Kempo and Kempo-based systems and is based on the nominations from the governing body and the governing board of the HOF. Also, from the IHOF members themselves. It will be held in conjunction with the Gathering of Eagles this year in Dallas, Saturday, August the 12th, 2017. Held at the Sheraton Hotel in Dallas. For more information, please call Dr. Nick Chamberlain on Facebook, or you may reach at info@dallaskempo.com. Well, we just like to know that some of the events that are coming up are incredible events, and the Sport Quarter Museum Archives, we support these events, and we encourage you that if you're in the area to check them out. Well, we just finished Mr. Goldberg's event, the Ashley Martial Arts Weekend, and an incredible weekend for everyone that showed up. We're also having, a brand new enclosement of things that are going on with shows. We have I'm going to get Archie Bowen to come on in a few minutes to explain it, but we have a app now for your iPhone and a webpage that you can go back and listen to the shows 24/7. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later. We talked about, the events that are coming up, and we support these events. The MGM Super Show, that is going to be July 6th through the 8th. We've got an incredible event coming up in Washington, D.C. with Dennis Brown, and that's going to be the U.S. Capitol Classic, one of the premier NAFTA events, and also the banquet for the Legends event that Master Bowling is doing. And the events that are coming up are fun events to go to. Now, remember, if you want the book and read about the book and read about some of the autobiographies of the book, you can go to www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com. And we're going to open up the lines now. Master Bowen, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. We had a little difficulty in technical, and apologize for that. It might have been my end. I don't know. I hit a wrong button or something. I apologize. But is there anyone on the line to talk to Mr. Hicks?
Well, we're going to open up the line, sir, and we are opening them up now. So if there's anyone that would like to share a comment or ask a question, the lines are not open for you to do that.
Let me ask my cut first before you go. We'll take those two. There's nobody calling the lines. How sad.
Hi, who is this? Hi. Aloha, who is this?
What happened? You got to take a bath.
Mr. Hicks, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I want water, man.
You recognize that baby?
No, sir.
I don't either. But that's cool. We got babies calling us. I love it.
That's awesome. I need my baby to talk to me.
Hi, anybody on the line? Sick.
Hello?
Hello?
Is it on the caller?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Who's this? Hello? Who is this, please?
They need to turn their volume down.
Yeah, I'm not getting the feedback, but...
No.
Okay. Well, you know, let me just build this time up for one more minute, then we'll give it to Mr. Bowen. September 29th and the 30th in Houston, Texas, we're going to be doing Kata Wars. And this is our second year to do this, and this is produced by Ms. Darlene McPherson Pagels and the Sport Karate Museum. Also, we feature Bubble Kumite. And this will be the 25th Living Legend Celebrity Roast, and we'll be roasting Mr. George Chu. But, you know, here's the neat thing about Kata Wars. This year, we're going to be introducing something new. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, that year span from 1999 to 2017, some incredible champions were created. You're one of them, Mr. Hicks. But we're going to open a part of the Sport Karate Museum, and to honor and to kick it off, Mr. Bob White is going to give out his Natural Fighter Award to three students that he handpicked, and those are Mike Bombavero, John Felton, and Jamie Matthews. And we're also going to be honoring and mentioning and having actually an award for these gentlemen, Mr. Ross Levine, Mr. Ryan P. George, Mr. LaVoy, Willie Hicks. We recognize quite a few fighters from the area, from all around the country. And it will be recognizing the great fighters and Nakata people from the era of 1999 to 2017. And we're real excited about doing this. And I believe that you're coming in to actually represent the fighters for sure and receive your award. But the cream of the crop is that I got in touch with Mr. Mike Stone, who's an upcoming interview here coming up in April. And Mr. Stone, he mentioned that he would like to get Bob White his Mike Stone Natural Fighter Award. So this is going to be a cool year for Legends. And what we've done with Kata Wars, we've taken the AMAA tournament circuit and some other tournaments that we've invited, and we're inviting the grand champions of every one of those tournaments to compete in Kata Wars for a national black belt Kata championship, a title. And no one's ever done that before by putting first place finishers from all the best tournaments handpicked and asked to be a part of Kata Wars. It will be a shootout, and then we'll add eight people from the museum as wild cards to go against these grand champions. And the tournaments that we've chosen to ask to be a part of this is Master Bowen, producer, AMAA Nationals, and I believe Johnny Watkins won that tournament. The World Cup Finals, Mr. John Chunk's tournament, he already has two grand champions coming in. Ocean State Nationals, Christine Bannon Rodriguez and Mr. Don Rodriguez. Kumite Classic, Mr. Bill Viola. The Dixieland Nationals, Mr. Dewey Earwood. Empire Nationals, Mr. Lee Allen. The Battle of Atlanta for the Root family and Lynn Scott Gregory and Mr. Joe Corley. The Diamond Nationals, John Worley, Pat Worley, and Larry Cunningham. The Jam Hall Nationals, D-Crash Petway and Mr. Jason Holmes. The Bill Wallace Superfoot Tournament, Mr. Don DeBreeze and Richard McLean, producers. The U.S. Capitol Classic, Mr. Dennis Brown, where the legendary Legends banquet will be held. And the Louisiana Pro-Am coming up, P.B. Blanco's event. The American Kick, Bob Liker's event. Grand Slam Nationals, Jeff Dawson's event on April 22nd. And the Long Beach International, Steve Cooper's and Neil Harden's event. And these grand champions will go head-to-head at Kata Wars September 29th and 30th. Now, I'm going to ask Mr. Bowen to come on and talk a little bit about Euphoria, a term that he's being produced in North Carolina, and also maybe plug the book a little bit more. But before we go, Mr. Hicks, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am still here.
I just want to say thank you so much. I apologize for the, again, for the little interference, but, you know, it's the life of the Internet, what can I say? But it was very special tonight, you sharing with my listeners and my audience your journey in professional karate. And I'm going to ask you in the last part, anything you'd like to say to anybody special, or you'd like to say something me, or just whatever you like to say.
Professor, I definitely would like to give you and Mr. Bowen an appreciative thank you just for this opportunity to be able to share my story with the world. Without you guys even offering me this tonight, this wouldn't even have happened. So I definitely appreciate you guys. To everyone that listened, I thank you guys for taking time out of your night, day, wherever you at across the world, to listen to who I am. If you guys have any questions, don't be afraid to ask. You guys know how to get in contact with me. You guys will see me back out there in the world fighting soon. And Professor.
Yes, sir.
FYI, I never fake an injury. Everybody have
yes,
a good night.
Sir. Yes, sir. I love you, Mom. Thanks for
I love you too,
tonight.
Professor. Have a good night.
Stay on the line. Stay on the line. Listen,
yes,
Mr. Bowen's watch. That's Bowen, you there, sir?
I am, sir, and that was a great interview.
Well,
and
I'd like for you to talk about Euphoria a little bit and maybe talk about the new radio blog 24/7. I walked in my living room today, and someone hollered at me from the other part of the house. He said, your radio show's on. It's live. And I go, no, it isn't. I'm not on till tonight. He said, no, it's live. It's on right now. Come listen to it. And it was Dana Abbott's show. So that's exciting to be able to listen to the show 24/7. So tell me about that a little bit. Tell me about Euphoria.
Okay. Well, you know, I think I wanted to, say with Mr. Hicks, that was, number one, a phenomenal young man that's doing, you know, phenomenal things. And really this is what our show has been about, is to share phenomenal things. You know, we have so many amazing things that's happened since September. In the martial arts, there's a whole big turn, and we really want to be a part of that turn to something else. You know, the world is in changes and different things, and this is what we want to do for sport karate, is to move it to the forefront. And you do that by building a base on this foundation of the people that have already built it. All we're doing is trying to clean off all the grass and shrubbery and stuff that's grown over sport karate, you know, with the Olympics coming up and with sport karate, you know, on the move. So we have this phenomenal opportunity. You have the Europa Games that's going to be coming up in Charlotte. And, you know, these games are going to be, it's going to be very phenomenal. And what's making this phenomenal is that sport karate has a platform, has been given a platform that we can actually step out and perform. So there really are four events going on across the country. There's one in Charlotte. There's one in Orlando. The Charlotte is April the 22nd through the 23rd. Orlando is May 20th through the 21st. Dallas is June 17th and 18th. And you got Phoenix, which is October the 14th and 15th. So, you know, sport karate now, we're in the image building. And partly because, you know, the Olympic movement, people want to know what we're doing, what is it that we do, what's been the attraction. So the Europa Games has given us an opportunity to be able to be on a platform that we can actually hold our own sport karate event. There are 13 other events going on along with karate at the same time. Last year in Charlotte, they had over 35,000 people to attend the event without sport karate. So we have this huge platform to place sport karate in four major events. And now the Europa Games and the Sport Expo is actually the largest event in the world. So we're getting phenomenal press, phenomenal opportunity, and I'm just so grateful that, you know, Mr. Bill Viola and all the other people at the Europa Games.
Pastor Allen, I want to mention that I'm really proud of Bill Viola, one of our history generals, who is spearheading the karate part of this event and brought you in. What a blessing he has been to sport karate through the Kumite Classic, and now he's got your head involved. It's just gonna skyrocket. And I understand you got David Mason doing the show in Dallas, and that's a really incredible producer too. So, you know, it's gonna be exciting to see where you guys take this.
Well, you know, we're really excited about it because, you know, this is what we're about. And I've been about ever since I've been in the martial arts, you know, after producing my tournament for over 40 years, sport coordinator for the USOC and the Taekwondo back in 87, you know, and all the things we've been doing is really trying to make the martial arts better. The Who's Who book is about making the martial arts better. So, you know, the Who's Who book is sort of the spearhead to everything. You know, we have the radio show that we're launching. It's still in test mode. The actual schedule for the shows won't go out until Monday. Will be the beginning. We're going to do some special programs on Saturday morning. It's just really, the radio station is phenomenal. Right now we have the Kempo Hall of Fame is part of our sponsors. We've got, Century with the Who's Who book. And, we're going to be bringing in, the show is going to be, of course, your show, martial arts shows, martial arts business. We're going to have motivational speakers up there. This is going to be one of the most positive stations that you could ever listen to. You can get to download the app right now, and the app is the Martial Arts Masters, and you can download the app, and you can listen all day long to great music. We have today, we have the things about personal achievement, life, how can we improve ourselves, the quality of the life. And this is what the radio station will bring, because we're going to have different people on there talking about life things, there's not going to be any political stuff. There's not going to be a news station on there. The only news is going to be about what we're doing in the martial arts. But, in the evenings, around 10 o'clock, we'll have an R&B hour. We'll have a country hour. We'll have a jazz. We'll even have a spiritual hour. Sunday morning, we've got spiritual music on, selecting several programs of ministers that, is talking about how we can improve the quality of our life. And I'm always a big believer about developing ourselves as we prepare to go to that other place, is learning how to live heaven on earth, how to be able to, to do a good job so that in the end it can say, well done, my good and faithful servant here on earth. So this is groundbreaking. It's really different, but I truly believe that, that we are, Professor Gary Lee, you and I, we're really trying to make a difference along with the other people out there with support. As I always like to recognize, Jeff Smith, Grandmaster Joe Corley, and our alumni board, for all the things that we're trying to do. And we're doing this from our heart. We're building it, and we're saying people will come. Don't forget, please, to make your nominations for the 2017 Who's Who in the Martial Arts book. You can do that by going to www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com. That's starting to fill up already. Our Legends Awards banquet was going to be in Washington, D.C. We're connecting to Grandmaster Dennis Brown to his event, and a world-class event, and bringing our event there. So when you come to the event, not only do you get to a great dinner, being recognized, being the book signing, but then you get a chance to go out and compete if you like to, watch some of the best competitors in the world. This is a NASCA event. It's also an AMAA Sport Karate League event. So, we have all that on. And on Thursday, we're going to be having Grandmaster Dennis Brown on, along with Linda Denley.
Super. And Ms. Denley's summit is April 22nd. Mr. Brown's summit is August 4th and 5th. And in closing on my end, I'd like to say, for anyone who wants to send an email out to me, it's Professor Gary Lee @gmail.com. You want to make a phone call? Call me at 713-483-0476. And you want to find out about all the work that we've done for 19 years and read about the legends, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org. And we'll leave you with this base saying that, we're all Asian influenced in the martial arts, but American sport karate was born in America. And believe in that, because America was responsible for sport karate. And it's just a beautiful thing that we're honoring these icons and pioneers and legends and the opportunity to do that. And I want to thank you, Archie Bowen, for the opportunity to do that and represent that history of sport karate. I'm so proud that you chose the museum, as far as Sport Karate Museum, to be the platform to honor these people. Thank you so much. And with that closing, I'm going to say good night. God bless everybody. thank you for the show, and we'll see you Tuesday, the 21st, with Colonel Phil Torres. Good night, everybody.
If you own a small business, it's not a question of if some hacker is going to attempt to attack your company. It's a question of when. Let cyberpolicy.com keep you safe. CyberPolicy is the first end-to-end solution that combines cyber planning, security, and insurance. With CyberPolicy, your business will be protected against cyber attacks for as little as 40 cents a day. Visit cyberpolicy.com today and get a quote in just 4 minutes. CyberPolicy.com.
Why pay hundreds more in taxes and fees on your wireless bill? Introducing T-Mobile One, now with taxes and fees included. Get four lines for $40 each per month with AutoPay. Switch your family of four to T-Mobile and get a $600 prepaid card. It's kind of like a refund on the taxes and fees you paid to those other guys last year. Don't wait. Visit a T-Mobile store.
Top 3% of data users greater than 28 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds. Sales tax and regulatory fees included. Via prepaid MasterCard card. See store for details.